Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 9 through 16. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab into pieces that pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep? Who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies? Of the Son of Man, who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Master, your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy? And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth and saying to Zion, you are my people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me our catechetical review for this morning found inside your bulletin. The Ten Commandments. The Eighth Commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest possible way. The epistle for this morning is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. While Jesus was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with the disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, and he took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all of the district. This is the gospel of our Lord. We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to come forward this morning. Good morning. Great to see you this morning. Where are we? We're in church, right? We're gathering in worship. And who do we worship? We worship God. That's right. Now, every Sunday when we come in here, we do a lot of the same things. Can you think about some of the things we do every Sunday over and over again? What do we do when we come to church? What do we do? We receive God's very body and blood in Holy Communion. That's exactly right. When we come to church, do we pray? Yeah, we pray here, and maybe you're praying at home too. That'd be a great thing. When we come to church, do we sing? We sing hymns all the time, don't we? And the kids, you guys are going to sing for us today. What song are you going to sing? I think it's this one. Yes, Jesus loves me. Right, we sing that. And then we hear God's word preached into our ears, right? We did something just a minute ago. We said a creed. Do you know what a creed is? A creed says, "I believe this." So I'll make a statement, I'll say something, and you tell me, you raise your hand if you believe this. All right? Shall we start? I believe in God, the Father Almighty. We believe that God is Father. Right. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Yeah, right. Do you believe that God gave you faith right there in the water of holy baptism, and that faith, right, Mason, that faith continues to live in our world every day, continues to live in us every day. Right. Do you know what you do in all of these things? There's a word we use for that. I confess. And confess means I believe this. Now, when we sing a hymn, at the end of a hymn, there's this one word, and it's at the end of every prayer, too. When we get done with a prayer, how do we end a prayer? What word do we use? Amen. And do you know what amen is? Amen is a confession. Amen means, yes, I believe this. So this morning, when you guys sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me," at the end of that, you know what we could say? We could say amen. I believe this. And that is our confession. That is what we believe. And every time we gather in church, everything we do is a confession that we believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit, not three gods, but one God, right? Let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us faith. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for giving us a bold confession. In your name, amen. All right, thanks guys for coming up here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you again for the faith that you have given to us, faith that confesses you always. Strengthen us in that confession. In Jesus' name, amen. How long have people been praying for you? In the last year, with my ankle and all of the issues Vonda's going through, I hear a lot of people saying, Pastor, we're praying for you. Thanks be to God for that. How long have people been praying for you? Well, my guess is, if we backed up, you would see it all the way back from the time that you found out, or someone found out, that you were growing inside your mother. People started praying for you. Mom and Dad started praying for you. Grandpa and Grandma started praying for you. Baptismal sponsors praying for you. The community of faith began praying for you, praying that God would continue to strengthen you, prayers for guidance, and especially the prayer that St. Paul writes in the beginning of Colossians, a prayer that says this, that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's a prayer of faith. A prayer that says, Lord, guide these little ones. Guide these adults that they might walk in your ways. Now, you've probably heard the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. I don't like that at all. I think the language isn't specific enough. It takes a family. And not just any family. It takes a family that's rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes a family that's rooted in the promises that Jesus gives to us. Now, that family may be biological. That family may not be biological. It takes a church family and a biological family to continue to encourage all people, especially our little ones, to continue in this confession that God has given to us in our baptism. In the epistle reading for today, St. Paul's writing to a family. He's writing to a family, a church family in Colossae, a family that's struggling because there are those in the church trying to pull them away from the absolute hope and promise that we have in Christ. They're trying to convince them that Jesus is created, that he's not really equal with God, somehow less than God. What the Colossae congregation is struggling with is, who is Jesus? And what does that mean for us? Is he a created being? Is he one that has wisdom and insight, but just as much as any sage or any rabbi that's out there? Or is he the one true God? Is he begotten of the Father? Is he the giver of life? Is he the redeemer from death? The savior of the world? Our only hope and promise. Answering that question for this congregation, the Colossae congregation, and this congregation, all of us gathered right here, is a question that guides us, a question that gives us a framework, a worldview, and a confession to work from. St. Paul reminds this Colossian congregation that he's praying for them so that they know the knowledge of God's will. Do you know what God's will is for your life? A lot of times we joke and say, yeah, when I grow up, I'll figure out what God's will is for my life. But it's really not that difficult. We take a look at the scriptures, we see what God promises and what God gives, and his will for you is really quite simple. God wants to give you his gifts. He wants you to receive them often so that you might live in his knowledge and in his peace. He wants to give you forgiveness of all of your sins through his only dear Son, Jesus Christ, born into our world for you, to give you peace and hope and promise. He wants you to live trusting that when your life is over, in that moment, you will go from here to rest with Jesus and wait there until he comes again upon the earth and raises your sleeping body, and soul and body together are in the new heaven and the new earth. He wants you to live in peace. Life with Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, is a life where Jesus freely and lovingly gives us, and we receive his gifts. And we live in that peace and that hope. And that guides and shapes our worldview. That guides and shapes the very confession that we make when we gather in this place. The people in the Colossian church were being fed a Christless worldview. Not the Christ that the rest of the scriptures confesses. We don't know exactly what the heresy was that was going on in the Colossae congregation, but we know that it was different from the rest of the scriptures that focus us back on Jesus. Anytime we question Jesus' authority, the authority that steps in to take over is me. Not the pastor, but me, the man, and you, the man or the woman. We step into that place. If Jesus isn't Lord, then I am. And I'll do things my way. Instead of Jesus and his gifts forming and shaping everything we think about, every decision we make, we have a tendency to be at the center of that choice. Do what you want, take what you want, live how you want. It's all up to you. No one telling you what to do. And that might seem really helpful. That might seem like a great idea. I can do what I want. I can be the king of my own kingdom. Those sinful leaders in the Colossian church were teaching the same thing that the world is teaching today. You don't need God. You can do it on your own. You can do anything you want. Everything goes. Whatever you like is fine. There's no one to tell you differently. But without Christ at the center of your worldview, where do you go for forgiveness? When your anger got the better of you and you lashed out at everyone around you and you tore them down and now you're extremely sorry for what you did. Where do you go when your perfectly mapped out life crumbles before you because of something unexpected? Like drugs or alcohol or a car accident or disease? Where do you go when you're crushed and paralyzed by anxiety and worry? And it feels like the pressure of the world is resting completely on your shoulders. Where do you go to find hope in hopelessness? Where do you go to find forgiveness and peace when you can't forgive yourself? If it's all dependent on you, then all of these answers that you're seeking have to come from you. And there is no good answer. What this Christless worldview wants us to think is we can have it all. Burger King mentality. You can have it, and you can have it your way, and it'll all be fine. But every time we listen to that, every time that we take a step away from the confession of Christ only as our Savior and Lord, we separate ourselves from Christ. And every gift that he gives, every time we make a step away from the gifts that God gives to us, we step one step closer to eternal damnation and separation from him for all eternity. Thanks be to God that you're here. Thanks be to God that you're here this day to hear these great and powerful gifts preached into your ear and strengthened by the faith that God has given you so you can continue in this confession of faith. God loves you. Christ has saved you. And the Holy Spirit has given you that faith to confess this through your holy baptism. St. Paul, as he writes this. Now that you've been given that confession of faith, that we should walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. A Christian worldview, having Christ at the center of every decision we make, results in a bold confession. We do it every Sunday, as I taught the kids. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that God's word is true and that he will continue to give his gifts to me, including salvation. Many think that the greatest gift of, or the greatest fruit that our lives would produce would be to sell everything and to go be a missionary in a far-off land, or maybe give up everything and be a vicar, to soon be a pastor, to preach to God's people. Somehow, if we do these official positions, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen, the greatest fruit of faith. But it's not. The fruits of faith are this. The greatest fruit of faith is to recognize that I'm broken, that I'm a sinner, and I'm going to die because of my sin. The greatest fruit of faith is to recognize that and to stand before a holy and righteous God and confess my sin, absolutely, firmly believing that Jesus has forgiven me. And even though I've told the most powerful entity in all of the universes, I've told him my sins, he will not destroy me. because he destroyed his son on the cross in my place and in your place. My hope and forgiveness, your hope and your forgiveness, is not based on our performance. It's not based on the amount of fruit we produce. It's all dependent on Jesus, on the love and the promises that he's given to us. He promises each of us that one day when we close our eyes in death, we will rise and we will see our Savior face to face. As Job said, with these eyes, I will see him. No more death, no more dying, no more pain, no more suffering. Because Jesus has overcome all of that. Those great hopes that we have because of this confession of faith means that we're forgiven by Jesus in all things. And that gives us hope to go on. Freely, lovingly, Jesus shed his love on the cross, his blood on the cross for you. Confessing our sins is complete trust that Christ loves us and that he will not destroy us, that he took our sin upon the cross and we are forgiven. Believing the forgiveness that was pronounced to you, that's a fruit of faith. That you trust that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Reading God's word, being in God's word, right here, having God's word preached into our dead and dying flesh is a fruit of faith. Gathering in person right here every Sunday, where not only do we hear our sins forgiven, do we hear the good news preached into our ears, but Jesus is here just like he promised, right here in, with, and under the bread and wine is the risen Christ coming to you. That's hope. That's promise. That's a bold confession that we stand against the world when it says, how can Jesus be at 1,000 altars, at 1,000 different places, at 1,000 different times? And we say, I confess that Jesus is here because he says he is, and we believe that. At the end of the epistle reading for today, Paul writes a prayer, if you will. The prayer is for the Colossian congregation, but the prayer is for us. That we might remain in this bold confession, that we might continue to live in the promises of Christ and produce this fruit, not because we're saved by it. It's just a result of living in God's peace. Listen to what Paul writes. Listen to the prayer he prays for you. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance for his saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And all God's people confess together, amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.